The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
It's Friday. We made it again. I hope you're all right. What a day yesterday. Wow, heavy stuff. A lot of details are coming out about the Prigozhin murder and the other nine people on board that plane. And I have inside information that I don't think anybody else has, and at least I haven't seen it anywhere. And I'm just going to pass this along to all of you so you know first. From what I am told, Prigozhin's jet, remember there were two of them, and they usually would split them up. Prigozhin would ride one, and Dmitry Utkin would ride the other, so they wouldn't be all their eggs in one basket. Apparently in Moscow, the Prigozhin jet had some landing gear problems and some repair work was done on the landing gear. Which one, I don't know. Now, you know, they all fold up and withdraw into their own compartment. And it would be very easy for somebody to put a bomb the size of a pack of cigarettes, that's all you need, inside the compartment where the landing gear wheels retracted into. That's what I was told is a possibility of what happened. Apparently, it's known that the plane was worked on in Moscow, and I wonder about the security that Prigozhin was employing to protect himself and his top people. I just wonder. Somebody works on your plane, you want to have at least two people, armed people, there watching at every moment what the hell they're doing. At least that's what I would do. So if that's possible, it would make sense. The long-distance air-to-air missile is absolutely on the table, in my view. There was an impact up there, an explosion. You saw the white puff of smoke that's kind of strung out, and then the plane went down. If it was in the landing gear compartment, it would be under the wing, and it could have blown one wing off or partially off. And as the plane came down, I think that stream of light white you saw behind it was fuel being leaked out on the way down. So, again, it doesn't take much. You have all kinds of hydraulic and electronic controls and cables running right by up and down the whole underside of that plane, and one bomb would just cut through everything. Doesn't have to be big. So there you go. You heard that first here, most likely. All right. Dean Henderson, the man of the hour, from South Dakota, is back with us tonight. Hello, Dean. What you been doing this last month besides sitting back and gritting your teeth?
That's about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting day yesterday. Russia's denying it, of course. And
right.
My first instinct, and I'm sure most people's, was, you know, Putin did him in. But I'm not
too
so
easy.
Sure.
Too easy.
Too easy.
The day before Ukraine's Independence Day,
right.
They had plenty to celebrate.
Right.
No. Russia is lacking three-dimensional characters in this war. The only one they had was Yevgeny Prigozhin. He was like a Robin Hood to the people of Russia. Mm-hmm. He was a folk hero. Mm-hmm. And now why would Putin want to kill that off when he already moved him to Belarus? They were out of the way. They made a deal. They came to terms, etc. You see, Prigozhin was correct in his criticism of the Ministry of Defense. Shoigu and the others, they are not waging the kind of war that Russia could wage. They should have rolled this thing up a year ago. They didn't. And now what are they doing? It's World War One all over again with drones and high tech. It's crazy. So I don't buy that for a second.
No.
That's a lose-lose for Putin. Really dumb. I don't think they're dumb. No.
My guess is British intelligence. All I got
we did
is
it. Oh, either one. The West did it.
Yeah, the West.
Oh, yeah.
My big suspect would be British intelligence. That's who blew up the Crimea Bridge the first time. We know that.
Oh, the Kerch Bridge?
Yeah.
They blew it up. That's who blew up the... Yeah, you're right. That's right. Now they got their Storm Shadow missiles. All right. Yeah.
British intelligence is knee-deep in this thing. I'd say even more than the CIA. But what else is new? But you'll never hear that because those guys are in the shadows. They don't... You know, they just use the CIA like a dirty rag. And they usually take the black eye, just like they did during the Kennedy hit, just like they did 9/11, all that stuff. But it's always the big stuff seems like it's British intelligence.
That's a good analogy.
But, it's just a guess. Yeah. But that's in my gut. You know?
The one thing about the British that very few people, either under the British crown hierarchy, or because they're too close to it, or Americans understand, the British... I'm not talking about all the British people. I'm talking about the British military-industrial complex and how they prosecute wars and domination and imperialism and colonialism. They are the most ruthless, brutal, probably on the planet. Am I correct?
Yep, for sure. Okay. The dirtiest bastards you could ever run across.
It. There you go.
And they're just bloodthirsty. So this is perfect. It fits their MO. And nobody, nobody knows the history, but you know, the fact is, you know, the CIA and the FBI both worked for British intelligence and both worked for the Crown. Started as the Empire Press Union, which, you know, was the Pilgrim Society, which was all the British Crown insiders. And then it progressed into MI6, MI5. And it was 1 year later, the CIA was founded. But there was a meeting in London where it was all decided. And Americans don't realize that the CIA doesn't work for them. It works for the British Crown. And it's a subsidiary of MI6. So MI6 is a senior partner. Right. And they're dirty bastards. Yeah, they always were. I mean, look at the British did. You know, I mean, they were the ones that led slavery. They were the ones that, you know, I mean, they're brutal. The Boer War, the first time they experimented on human beings. With different things, including vaccinations, and they're talk so nice, Jeff, that you know nobody would suspect it because they're so smart, you know. So they have all these people doing your documentaries, your History Channel, your all this stuff. They always have these British accents. Even like watching the CBS news tonight, and Deborah Potter was so sure it was, you know, Putin that did it. And, like she's British intelligence. Well. I guarantee you, she is British intelligence because most of your journalists, and this goes back to that point, the Empire Press Union was the media, right? So the media and the intelligence agencies are joined at the hip, and they always have been because that's why they broadcast because they're casting a spell on the whole planet broadly. We don't get to broadcast, we have podcasts. We got podcasts, you know, right? But they get to broadcast. And it's just magicians. It's just, it's lies. It's deception. It's and that's what the intelligence services are. Think about it. So the media and the intelligence services are really the same damn thing when it comes right down to it, the major media. And that's true, and historically true. But that's my guess, British intelligence. And they're knee-deep in this Ukraine thing because they benefit the most from seizing that territory and handing it over to their grain conglomerates and whatnot. And,
So that little tidbit I haven't seen anywhere else, and I got it from a very, very good source, and that would make sense. Otherwise, it could have been an F-22 or an F-15 stealth, and they let loose a very long-range missile. Whoever did it, however it was done, they knew that Prigozhin and Utkin were on the same plane. They knew that. And they rarely travel that way, apparently. They usually, two planes, there were two planes. One about, you know, 3-4 minutes ahead of the other. And they got the right one. So this did a lot of damage. People don't remember that before the alleged uprising, the attempted overthrow, forget it now. It was a demonstration against the Ministry of Defense and their corrupt military leadership.
Right, exactly.
Shoigu is not the... He's never been in the military. He's a bureaucrat. Okay,
yeah.
So that's what that was all about. Since
right.
then, they diminished Prigozhin as much as they could, but then he is a folk hero. He always will be a folk hero in Russian history. They fought the war and prosecuted the war down in the Donbass like the Russian military was supposed to.
Right.
They were the ones who
That's
took
right.
Bakhmut, so
they're badass.
That was the,
I mean,
by the way, that was the they were. They cost them 22,000 men, but they did it.
Yeah.
I'm sure they took double or treble
damages
on the other side. But
That's why they were. That's why he was so pissed, you know, because of the sacrifice they made. But you know, the other thing people don't realize, you know, they talk about the Wagner Group like it's some kind of separate thing. No, it's part of the government. I mean, it's a government.
Well, they're being subsidized by the Russian
like
government. No,
yeah,
the Russian government is subsizing Wagner. Always
they own them. They are the government.
That's right.
I mean, it's just a different name.
That's right.
And there's like, you can think of them like the SEALs. They're like special forces. That's what they are. And so they act like there's some kind of like, people are so ingrained, you know, the Americans or the West, I guess, were so ingrained because of what we did with Blackwater, you know, privatizing and contracting out our military, the old British model, right? And usually run by Serco, by the way, the British crown-controlled entity, which is now overseeing the Maui FEMA operation, by the way, because they have the contract for that district for FEMA, and they're the ones denying those people on Maui housing. They said you can't even apply for a housing until the end of September. Yeah, but anyway, so no, it's not. It's part of the government. And it's just the government. It's just the name of a special forces unit is all it is. It's not private. So
correct.
It is the government.
Well, they started out.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, they started out with a lot of prisoners from Russian institutions, and they made him a deal. You serve 6 months in Wagner or whatever the tour of duty was, and your record will be expunged of all charges. You'll be free, and you can start over. That's how they got a lot of their initial people. But as of 3 or 4 months ago, in April and May, they had recruiting offices for the public all over Russia and all the major cities.
Mm-hmm.
Wagner recruiting offices, and they were bringing in people.
Very popular.
They got to the point where they couldn't take anymore. That's how popular Wagner is in Russia. And Prigozhin was a media master in a country that doesn't play the media game. He was really very astute about how to play. You know what he did when the Bakhmut thing was nearly over? I'll never forget this. He did one stand-up video. I think it was in the evening or night, and the camera was on him, and behind he was inside a building, and behind him were body bags of Ukrainian soldiers, and he paid them tribute. He said, these brave men have died in this war, and they will be respected.
That's right.
And
class
act.
Right. Well, that's the Russian way. I mean, that's why, again, I don't think they did it, because they're not bloodthirsty. They're not like that.
No,
assume that everybody's like us, you know, that everybody's like our government. Like, everybody would just do that. And that's not the way other people in the world operate. I mean, other people actually have, like, humanity left in them, you know, and they're not glued to their cell phones 24/7 because there's no 5G towers in Russia because they banned them. And then, you know, so they actually have that left in them. And so that's why they're now paying. I mean, Russia's paying the troops that are fighting in Ukraine. Like, I can't remember. I think it's 3 times the average wage of a Russian. So they're giving them this huge bonus packages to fight. And I'm sure Wagner's doing the same because they respect these people. They respect the workers. They respect the people that are actually doing the work, which is something this country doesn't understand. We just want to pay the CEOs 225 times what the workers make, you know. But it's not the way it is there. They're getting paid really well, and they're well taken care of, and that's why they're effective. And, you know, according to Scott Ritter, we're looking at about 400,000 to 500,000 Ukrainians dead, 40 to 50,000 Russians, you know. And
that's that about right. Right. Yeah.
So, I mean,
and here's the other
Ritter's
thing.
Saying that, now, yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, this falls in with what you're saying. What is Ritter saying? Then I'll check in.
Well, yeah, he's just saying that basically Ukraine is about to capitulate with no conditions. They have no choice.
Don't hold your breath.
They're just getting mowed down.
I don't. Yes,
yeah, I mean, maybe. Yeah, yeah. Who knows? Who knows? But, and they're willing to do that. They don't care about their own people either. So that's what you have to understand.
Why? Because it's a Zionist Bolshevik regime,
yep.
And they don't give a damn about Christian men, and they're slaughtering them as fast as they can, so there'll be less likelihood of a military uprising against the Bolshevik Zionists who run the place.
That's right. That's right. Yep. The drug trafficking, organ trafficking, pedophile, cokehead.
It's all Zionist Bolshevik crap.
Yeah,
all of
it's horrible. I said, you know what, 10 years ago, it's like the new Israel. And it was like that back then. It's the dirtiest country on the planet. It's the dirtiest country on the planet right now. The dirtiest. It's not,
right.
I mean, Mexico, corruption, forget about it. They got, Ukraine's way more corrupt than Mexico. So it's just amazing how they can spin these stories.
Well, they were overthrown. We overthrew them, installed our puppet Zionist Bolsheviks, and it's been all downhill ever since. You don't see many Jewish men in the Ukraine military. Now, I know there aren't that many there, but there are some. But no, they're all, believe me, they're being deferred. They're not being forced into service and given an AK after 2 weeks of training and thrown into the meat grinder. It's not happening. It's not happening. Now, Putin has said many times that he doesn't like, and a lot of other people there have said this, they don't like the idea at all of killing other Slavic peoples. They're being forced to kill their own cousins and uncles and brothers, and they hate it. So what are they doing? They're loading artillery shells with special airburst shells that when they explode in the air, they release millions of little leaflets. And the leaflets say, call this cell phone number and arrange to surrender. Wherever you are on the front lines, they give them different cell phone numbers, and they're doing it, and they're calling in surrender coordinates, and they're being escorted out. It's the only way they can try and stop the slaughter at this point.
Yeah, they don't want to do it. That's why it's so slow. That's why it's so slow. I mean, I know Prigozhin, you know, in a sense, he's right that it's gone too slow, but that's why it's gone so slow, because they don't want to just massacre a bunch of people. And they don't want to do that, and they don't want to. They don't want to, for example, bomb the shit out of Odessa, and they haven't yet. But they're going to start if this doesn't stop. You can see exactly where it's going, and they started doing it actually, you know, last week a little bit. But they don't want to do that because it's a historic city. It's a Russian city, and you know, it's very significant because that's where the massacre took place. You know, back in 2015, I did a commentary on RT about it. It was a top story that night. And they burned out like 50 people in that building, pro-Russians, in Odessa, remember? So it's very historically significant. And also a very strategic port. But the Russians don't really need it because, you know, they're willing to, again, they're willing to be human beings and play nice and be like, okay, you can have a port too. But if this doesn't stop pretty soon, they're just going to take it. And then Ukraine's a landlocked country. And those all the grain giants, I mean, that's a lot of value lost. If you don't have a port in a major grain-producing country, you're in trouble because the Danube River is not going to cut it, you know, for a quantity of grain that they can produce in that country, which is a lot. You have to remember, Ukraine is the breadbasket of the Eastern Hemisphere.
Well,
but you also have to remember,
if they keep throwing mines out and mining these fields, which they're doing all up and down the line of contact, they say it'll take 750 years to remove all the mines that have been laid and buried and set all up and down that line. The whole length of the combat zone is all mined, and that land is in trouble. And what are they doing now? They're using depleted uranium tank rounds, anti-tank rounds, and artillery rounds all the time now, and they're going to make that land every bit as dirty as it is in Iraq, unusable.
That's right.
That's going to happen.
Where they killed a million people, and where kids are still sick from that depleted uranium. They got to get rid of that stuff somewhere. The Japanese are just dumping in the ocean. I guess you can do that, too. You know, it's fine. you know. But yeah,
you know, the only people who stood up against that
nuclear power.
You know who stood up against that?
The Chinese, a little bit.
Well, it was actually that and the North Koreans.
And the North Koreans and Hong Kong too said they're not going to. There's a lot of countries that aren't going to allow import of Japanese seafood, so they just shot their seafood industry, you know, right through the head with that. So, but yeah, I mean, it's going to take 30 years just to dump that crap in there. And
they've been dumping it all along, but now they're doing it formally and officially, so they can ramp up the amount of death liquid they're throwing into the ocean, which is already pretty well destroyed.
That's right.
It's been 12 plus years now.
Terrible.
Crazy.
Under United Nations cover, but we know what the United Nations is, so not the United Nations.
We
it's the United World of the Rothschilds or whatever. So, yeah, it's, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's really amazing to watch. It's just amazing to see the difference in the ethics between the Russians and the West, and it indicates just this massive corrosion of morality in the Western world. We're just barbarians compared to the Russians. And they're decent. They're decent people. And they're getting more decent, I think, and we're getting less decent.
It's not the American people, of the American people that are still viable.
Well, that's the thing.
A lot of it is
maybe it
is
the American people. I don't know.
Yeah.
The part of the American people are going along with it for sure, and don't give a damn. Now, frankly, they don't care. You can give them the whole history of Ukraine, and they don't care. And you know, they're just going to go ahead and wave their yellow and blue flag and send more money and starve people out in this country. You should be getting that money. How many houses do you think we get built, you know, for low income people with that money or whatever? You know, just there's got to be something better we could be doing with that money. But no, just hand it over to Lockheed Martin and Raytheon and. Sure. Go to town, boys, and you got to remember, you know, Lockheed Martin, Crown Corporation, it's not an American corporation, it's a British corporation. So,
people don't know that, Dean. Thank you for mentioning that again. They don't know.
Yeah.
You are so wise about all this stuff. All right. By the way, if there were to be somehow peace tomorrow in Ukraine, it would still cost the U.S., over $650 billion more dollars to wrap things up there and restore things and try to make good in some of the horrible things that have happened because of us. It's all on us, all of it. Ever since we overthrew the government there, it's all on us.
Yep.
Hold on just a minute, Dean, and I'll be right back with more. All right, welcome back. Talking with Dean Henderson. All right, let's shift and take a look at Maui, Lahaina. I'm calling it a mini 9/11 over there. There's far too much crap going on to accept this as face value, as another wildfire that got out of control. I personally think that it's quite likely that the power lines did ignite the blaze, but something else was done to the actual town when the flames approached. I don't know how this works. There was a lot of talk about DEWs, directed energy weapons. There were two pictures that were posted and circulated all around the world that were frauds. They were not directed energy weapons. One of them was a time-lapse photo of an evening launch of a missile from Vandenberg Air Force Base, and the other was a big petroleum fire with a lens flare. They were both explained exactly for what they were, and I'm not sure that the government didn't put those out there to have people look away from the directed energy weapon potential by laughing at these two debunked fake pictures. I've got the pictures. I've posted them. They're up there. You've probably seen them, Dean, as well. One was this perfect beam coming down.
It makes sense.
If you haven't, I'll try and dig them up and send them to you. But they were fakes. So that's a false flag picture op, in a way. Now, let me finish my little thing here. We also know now that a laser, first of all, requires a generally speaking, a very large amount of energy to promote it, to make it actually fire off. Secondly, when you repeatedly fire a laser, it builds up tremendous heat in the actual machinery or the equipment used to actually stage the laser. So you've got to cool that off. Well, just on last Sunday, the Chinese announced that they had finally figured out a way to allow you to fire lasers over and over and over again without building up excess heat and having to shut down. So you got that. Now, a laser beam is small, pencil size, maybe a little bigger, I don't know, but generally speaking, they're small. Over distance, they dissipate. We know that. Now, they also have the ability with lasers, Dean, I don't know if you knew this or saw this video, it was remarkable. They had about six different pieces of paper, each painted a different color, red, orange, green, yellow, blue, white, black, whatever. And they ran the laser over each color. When they got to the blue paper, the laser would not ignite the paper. It wouldn't even scar it. In other words, they had tuned that laser to, in this case, avoid doing any damage to anything painted blue. And then came the pictures of Front Street in Lahaina, where the four blue umbrellas were there, and obviously a sidewalk cafe of some kind, totally unharmed, while the building was a pile of crematorium-style ash behind them. And then blue cars were not burned up and melted. So in that case, it looks like blue was tuned out of the laser's damage, if a laser was used, and we don't know that that was what did it. The other side of the story is this. Did somebody take that laser and ignite each house, each structure, and then ignite the next one and move to the next one and move to the next one? Because a laser, by definition, does not cover a half or a mile square area in one shot. It doesn't do that, at least not any lasers we know about. So does that suggest that maybe there was some other technology? I don't know. But there's a lot to this. Now, the political side, you've all heard what Josh Green said, I think, about finding a way for the government to take care of this land and make sure it didn't get abused and misused again and or whatever. It's a very complicated story. And then if they did, in fact, bar that whole long line of automobiles with fleeing residents and made them stay in place, and they were all burned up and killed. That's mass murder, just like 9/11. It's the same thing.
Yep.
So anyhow, let's hear what you have.
Well, just shift gears a little bit to the political economic side, I guess. I mean, one thing you have is you have a lot of deforestation there already. You have a lot of pineapple plantations owned by Del Monte and Dole. So this legacy of colonialism. The other thing you have is that town is very traditional. It's the center of the Hawaiian Empire when there was such a thing before the U.S. took it over. So it's very symbolic, right? There's a lot of native Hawaiians who owned houses and land there who are now without homes and land, who will never be able to buy house or land there again ever because it's some of the most expensive real estate in the world. And then you have all these real estate people coming in and right away asking these people, if they want to sell their land. So I think
I don't view that as a conspiracy, by the way, Dean. Excuse me. I think that's typical real estate predatory behavior. Agreed.
Yeah. That's a lot. Well, sure. There's a lot of that, too. But I think the part, just the fact that this town is so spiritually important to the native Hawaiians and there's so many of them live there and this beautiful place and just to be able to just take it over. And they killed a lot of kids. So in the eyes of the Satanists, I mean, this is a huge joyful day of blood sacrifice of children, right? Especially little brown children. They love it when little brown children die and little black children die. They love that because they're fucking Nazis. That's what they are. That's who runs the world. It's called the Crown. They're the real origins of white supremacy because they're aliens and the white
look
bald
what they
people
did
are closer
India,
to them.
Look what they did to China. I mean,
everywhere.
The list is
still
long
doing
and
it.
Bloody.
Africa is still doing it, right? So whether or not we're the worker bees, I don't know, whatever. But so there's that, and I think it's another colonial land grab in that sense. That would be my take on it. Well, how they did it, exactly technology wise, you're probably right. It probably a directed energy weapons. It's a good bet. But boy, those pineapple and sugarcane fields burn hot,
with a 60 or an 80 mile an hour wind blowing through them. You bet.
Right, which is really weird. So where'd that come
from?
Yeah,
that came out. Well, that was supposedly a gradient between the low pressure of the hurricane and the high pressure that was above it. And that does happen. Mm-hmm. I've seen it happen in Santa Barbara many times. They're called Santa Ana winds down there. And they'll go 60 to 80, and they'll have fires. I've seen 600-plus houses gone, some left standing, some trees not touched. I've seen another one was 850 houses gone. Heck, right here, we had the same kind of screwball winds show up in September out of the blue. There was nothing the day before or the day after except these, well, there would be east-northeast winds coming out of the mountains and blowing up toward the west-southwest. And they were pushing 60 to 80 miles an hour. And what happened? People don't even know this. Over 3,300 homes and businesses were burned to the ground before the night was over. 3,300 homes and businesses right here. My house was targeted. I got lucky. They went right around it. So there's a lot going on here. A lot of arson. Remember, they have professional arsonists. Oh, they have them on call, ready to go. And if these winds pop up or they stage them through geoengineering, they can take advantage of it with a phone call. They'll be out with the arson crew right away.
And in the end, it's all land grab, right? Because they want us all in Agenda 2030, smart cities. Force them off the land. And man, if you can do it to Native Hawaiians, you know, the stronghold of their power, you know, Kamehameha, all that stuff, if you can do it to that, it's even better. So it was a huge, you know, black magic thing, one way or the other. I mean, because they love it when they can just, and the Hawaiians are probably more activist driven or more, you know, they're really involved. They're really, you know, raising a lot of hell all the time against these pineapple plantations and against the colonization of land, more so than any other maybe people in the world. I mean, they're very vocal about it, and they're reasonably powerful. I mean, too, they have a lot of sway over the alleys and over the other people that just move there. They have a lot of sway. So, but the Japanese run that place. I mean, the Japanese pretty much took over Hawaii, and the U.S. military runs that place. And so, it's not that hard to believe that it would have been a direct energy weapon, because there must be at least a dozen.
I think it was a combination. That's my sense. They knew the winds were coming. They got ready. The winds blew the power lines down. We've got videos of that actually showing the start of the fire, at least part of it. Then they could have arsonists driving around throwing cigarettes out the window or little incendiaries to make sure. And then they have directed energy in the town to take out the structures.
Makes sense.
That would be my guess.
It makes sense. And I also think, you know, just to add one more thing, I think, you know, we've seen an awful lot of this lately. You know, we saw it in California with PG&E. We're seeing houses blowing up almost every day on the news from natural gas leaks. And so, you know, one thing to think about is just all this stuff we call progress, whether it's electrical lines or gas lines or, you know, and our infrastructure's failing because we don't spend any public money on infrastructure anymore, and we haven't for 50 years. And there's going to be more of this. There's going to be more basic systems that you just took for granted that you thought were just great and were a convenience. It's going to, your house could be a death trap. I mean, I, for one, will never have natural gas or propane or anything that goes boom coming to my house. I always thought it was just kind of insane, and it kind of is. But all you need is a little bit of jiggle in that little fixture outside of your house, and a little bit of a leak, and you got big problems. So we're seeing that almost every day. So I think it's also, you know, it's a bigger thing. It's creator is not happy with the way we did things, you know, and what we call progress, it really wasn't, maybe. And we could have done it different, and we didn't. And, you know, they got rid of Tesla, and they went with, you know, they went with the old Con Edison, and with the old J.P. Morgan back, you know,
Thomas Edison.
The etymology part, good one. So, you know, that's something to think about, and I think you're just going to see a whole lot more of that, and especially because, you know, you can build all that fancy stuff with dangerous things going through it, but if you don't keep it up, mm-hmm. you got problems, and we're not keeping it up because we're too busy spending money in Ukraine.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you mentioned propane. I've always been, I know a lot of you listening right now have propane tanks at home, and that's how you fuel your house. They're dangerous. You know that. But people seem to look the other way. They don't want to hear about it. We used to have a sponsor on the program here. It was called Australian Excellence. It was a fabulous product, really top drawer. And the people who owned it, it was a couple from Australia. They had moved over here to the States. They were living in Tennessee. They had a house, rural, and it had a propane tank, and there was a hillside next to their home. And there was a lot of rain, and then there was a small little landslide. It kind of filled their backyard up with mud and all that, and it kind of surrounded their propane tank. And they called the propane service, and they came out, and they inspected the connections, the pipes that came out of the tank, and told them that everything's fine, don't worry. And they looked around, and they didn't see other overt damage. So the people, I knew these people. I talked to them a lot, and they were really nice people. They went back in their home, and about an hour later, the propane tank ignited. It went off. It was leaking, and the crew didn't detect the leak, and it leveled the house and killed them both instantaneously.
Damn. Yep.
Every time I see a propane tank, I wince. And if they want to drive people off the land, and they do, the rural part of America, they'll just raise the propane rates to where they're impossible, raise the insurance rates to where they're impossible, and they're going to make it, then they'll burn a lot of people out. They can make it real tough, real fast for people.
That's kind of what they're doing right now. And I think they're artificially inflating this housing market. And I mean, I know part of it is these young kids, they're just not very smart, you know. And I heard the other day that half of people buying homes right now are first-time home buyers. So, you know, one of the reasons prices
really?
Just keep going
well,
up and this stupid. Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Highest rates in 21 years, and they're buying houses? Wow.
Yeah, highest rates, highest prices, not sustainable. It's a bubble. It will go down. But see, the globalists don't mind it. And that's the other part of it is they want to overvalue, all, especially rural property, but everything, right. really, because they don't want anybody to own anything, right? I mean, that's the whole Klaus Schwab trip, right?
Right.
You'll own nothing and be happy. And, of course, Prince Charles is the one that really started that. People forget that. They think it's Klaus Schwab, but it was Prince Charles who started the World Economic Forum. He also started the Rio Summit. It wasn't Al Gore. It was Prince Charles. Well, mm-hmm. King Charles now. King Charlie. Mm-hmm. The King Charlie fan club.
King
yeah,
Chuck.
That's me.
King Chuck.
King Chuck. But so they're artificially or at least letting this happen or wanting this to happen. And then the other half of it, yeah, these kids are just, they're not. I mean, I understand you're young, you want to own a house, you see what's happening, you hate renting. I understand all that. But to buy a house anywhere right now, you need your head examined, I'll be honest with you. And I don't care where it's at. There's no good deals anywhere. I've been investing in real estate. You know, I made a good living doing that. Bought and sold 8 properties, did good in each one of them every time. So I know real estate a little bit, and this is insane what's going on. And they're doing it, and it's happening for a reason, because they're trying to price everybody out of everything. And they really, again, it goes back to sending you to a tiny home in a smart city, a tiny apartment, like the size of a shoebox, and that's the way they want
right.
us to live.
Where you can get everywhere
get
in 15
bugs.
Minutes or less. That's right.
15 minutes or less, yeah, nowhere else. So limit their mobility, limit their housing options, keep them on the rent train. And it's a perfect way to control people. So the American dream, yeah, they don't like that. And that was one of the ways in America, and I did it myself, that you could get ahead. So that's what's going on in the real estate market. But, yeah, there's a lot. Insurance is going up. Property taxes are going up everywhere. Even Wyoming here, you know, next door. I'm 11 miles from Wyoming border, and used to always be, you know, South Dakotans would talk, you know, they'd grumble about the property tax here because they're pretty high here. And they say, well, Wyoming. Yeah, I'm going to move to Wyoming because it's so much better. And it used to be, but not anymore because they have the energy, the coal and all that, you know. But now the coal industry's drying up, and their property tax is going through the roof. But that Florida, even Florida's going through the roof. Used to be pretty cheap property taxes there. So there's a number of things happening that make home ownership really maybe not the best option right now, especially if you don't own one already. Now, if you own one already and you got it paid for or whatever, then that's different. But I do feel for these young kids. I really do, because that's the American dream, is own your own house. And honestly, if you're buying a house right now as a young kid, and apparently they're the ones buying them, you'll probably never pay for that house in your lifetime.
All right.
You'll never own it.
No, it's the ultimate indentured servitude trap that we lay for people. It's called a mortgage.
That's right, and that's the primary reason interest rates are going up, too, because they want to make it hard. So, yeah, it's all coming down.
No, absolutely. I'm just amazed that young people are actually able to even shoehorn their way into a house at this point.
I talked to
a guy today. He said he was paying $5,800 a month on his mortgage. I said, "What?
Yeah.
How are you doing that?" He says, "It's not easy."
Holy smokes!
So yeah. I guess they're paying through the nose, but it's not all $5,800. But let's say $3,000-$4,000 a month. It's probably not uncommon.
Yeah, probably not. So I mean, you pencil that out, and that's just your mortgage. You know, that's not, you know, your property taxes. You know, that's not your insurance, your utilities, all that stuff. So yeah, it really doesn't make sense. Like I say, home ownership's making less sense all the time, and there's a reason for that. Like we're talking about, they're making it not make sense. I don't own a home either right now, so yeah, it's kind of freaky. It's like the first time in my life I've rented for a long time. For probably 30 years, you know. But I'm happy with it because I'm financially in a place where it's okay, you know, and I don't have to build, you know, equity and think about, well, maybe, you know, selling it and making a dollar. I don't have to do that anymore. But for me right now, yeah, renting is the only, I mean, it's so much better option. It's just such a better option than owning a place because they're just making it hard on every level. And then the weather's so crazy. The weather's just so crazy. They're making it crazy. So, you know, you don't know. I mean, you don't,
no.
You know, my kind of take on it right now is I want to be mobile. I want to be really mobile. I want to be month to month, no deposit. And that's where I am right here. So, because you don't know where you're going to have to go. You don't know. I mean, there could be big things. There could be big fires. There could be big floods. There could be, you know, and I don't really want to be tied to this. You know, it feels like a ball and chain around your neck when you got to sit there and defend your house from this stuff and your property and all this stuff. And so it's not, there's a lot of that right now. A lot of stuff don't make sense. And, but like I say, it's by design. It's part of the global agenda.
All part of the plan. Just always remember that. Nothing is left to chance. Nothing of any real consequence. No more. No more happenstance. No more coincidence. All by the plan. How did Sturgis turn out this year? How was it?
It was pretty weak. It was pretty down. The numbers were down. I think 20%. I mean, we live on the canyon here, and everybody goes past our place because it's the prettiest tribe in the Black Hills. And it just was like, there was days it was like a ghost town here, and it was just amazing because it's the fourth year I've been here, and the other 3 years were just nuts. I mean, it would drive me crazy, and because we're right on the highway, and this year it wasn't like that. We got some rain, that was part of it, and it discouraged people, they went home early, but I think the bigger part is even the tourism in the Black Hills is down this year for the first time in a while. And I just think people are out of money. You know, like Jeremy Siegel, you know, economist. I don't like him. He's an establishment, you know, shill. But he said a smart thing the other day, and he said basically the first half of this year was everybody just spending like drunken sailors, like it was the last day of their life, which you can understand because they just tried to genocide us all with this vaccine and the masking and the lockdown and the, you know, the suspension of our constitution and everything else. And enough of us fought back. That didn't quite happen, right? But I can understand it. But that's, you know, he said that they spent like drunken sailors the first 6 months, and the next 6 months are going to be spent just paying their bills. And there's no money for anything. There's $1 trillion in credit card debt in this country. It's a record.
Yeah, and most of it will not be paid off. They don't have them. How are they going to pay it off? Here's here's another thing. I live right next to a two-lane, you know, probably like you. Mm-hmm. A lot of people go by.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a beautiful country, and
very
little Harley traffic this summer.
Interesting.
Oh, you'd hear it all the time. It's got to be down 20-30% compared to what it was.
Uh-huh.
And I honestly believe there are two reasons why it's down. The average Harley rider is in 50 and up. That's fair. I don't think that's a stretch. Yeah, that's just what it is. A lot of retired guys, retired early guys and, and gals, and a lot of gal writers now. I think, unfortunately, in the last 3 years, Dean, it's my feeling that we may have lost up to 20 million people in this country and nobody's noticing it. Because you're not going to notice one out of 10 people. Let's say we got 330 million, 320 million. You're not going to notice one out of 10 people disappearing over a three-year period. You're not going to notice it. One out of 10. You're not going to notice it. And the death certificates now, they have a wheelbarrow full of things they can assign to a case as a cause of death. They never put down Pfizer or Moderna. They don't do that. They'll say clot, stroke, heart attack, kidney failure, blood disorders, whatever. They've got it all. So I think a lot of people have died, not all Harley riders, but I also think it's an issue, like, it's an issue of money. They don't have the money. They just don't.
Yeah.
And I think that's the other part of it.
Yep.
And the third part is that a lot of people are sick from the vax.
Yeah.
Or sick from shedding. They're sick. They don't feel good enough to go out and have a good time.
Right. Oh, gee, we got a new variant. Well, that's what happens when you vaccinate people. The virus gets smart, and there's a variant. Oh, gee whiz. And then, oh, Ger Vandenbosch says, well, the common cold is going to kill, like, millions of people this winter. And it's probably true
He's talking about coronaviruses. Yeah, he's talking about coronavirus.
But he's just talking common cold. We're already seeing common cold in the summer.
Well, that is
everywhere.
That is the common cold virus, coronavirus.
Same thing. But you know, it's just like, wow.
How many did you say are going to die?
People's immune systems are shot.
What'd you say?
8 million, just millions, like way more than have already died. Just from their immune systems being shot.
We agree. We agree with
that. And they'll call it some variant and fancy name, but it's just, again, like you said, the coronavirus, common cold. So
be very careful about the new booster that's coming out the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Dude.
They may be going for broke with this one. We don't know what's in it. We won't know what's in it because they lie. They don't even have to test them anymore with trials. They simply declare them competent and effective. Safe and effective, and the government's given permission now. Go ahead and release it. That's what they do. So look out.
Experimental.
They're beating the fear drum already.
Right.
You've seen that.
Yeah, it's coming. You can feel it coming.
The Iris subvariant, and this new booster does not address the Iris variant. It's designed allegedly to take care of the XBB variant, which is not Iris. And Iris isn't what? The god of chaos. That's what that means, Iris.
Yeah,
the god,
nice.
Goddess of chaos.
There you go.
Think about it.
No, it all makes sense.
There you go.
Yeah, there's satanic, Luciferian, evil.
Yes.
Anunnaki, Nephilim, fallen angels.
They never run out of
enemy.
Tricks. The bastards, they just never do. Dean, take care of yourself. Be safe. And,
For sure.
I'm
you
here
too,
if
Jeff.
You need anything. Let me know.
Right on. Same here, man, brother. All right. Take care.
Okay. Good night. Thanks. Dean Henderson. All right. Jeff and Erica will be right back. Hold on.